You're going to have to listen to a homily on St. Ignatius Loyola because I'm a Jesuit and that cannot be overlooked. So it's interesting that this gospel reading comes from the regular readings for ordinary time. It's not in the Jesuit ordo of special readings for the feast day. But it applies perfectly to St. Ignatius of Loyola, not the grass-eating bullock getting made. It's the other reading about the mustard seed. And St. Ignatius Loyola and, of course, his companions at the University of Paris that he eventually leads into the first generation of the Society of Jesus, they're like the mustard seed. Here is a man who clearly, completely unexpectedly, becomes, of course, one of the great saints of the Counter-Reformation, one of the great saints of the church, starts the largest religious order. It all happens, practically speaking, overnight. And it's a remarkable thing. I mean, here is a man who was going down the wrong path. He was definitely a dueler. He had probably killed several people. He was definitely a ladies' man at the court. He was born of a noble family. And let's say he was not living the perfect life, but he had great natural virtues in the midst of a lot of vices, vices that he identified himself, right? He was filled with pride. He was filled with lust. He was filled with every kind of worldly passion, right? But he had some good natural virtues, like St. Paul, that God saw could be utilized. And of course, when he saw those virtues, right, one of them was clearly courage. Oh my gosh, Ignatius had courage, right? That's how he gets the cannonball right in his leg that leads to his hospital stay. Ignatius is defending the fort of Pamplona against a French legion that's probably about six times bigger than the legion defending the fort. Ignatius, not to allow a defeat, gets right on top of the parapet there, and he's rallying his soldiers, and a big old cannonball comes and knocks him right in the leg, and a big chunk of bone starts protruding, and Ignatius is there practically trying to lead him on with a broken leg until, of course, he keels. Now, the main thing, of course, is you look at that guy and go, oh my gosh, he's got not just courage, he's got self-discipline. I mean, he is like to the max, fortitude incarnate. He's never going to give up, right? He's got that fortitude in every sense, that courage in every sense. And of course, he's got, if he wants to have temperance, he's got so much discipline, he's got great temperance. And so the Lord says, I can use that fellow. He's got more there going on than can possibly be imagined. Can't tell the whole story of Ignatius today, but here's how the Lord works, through suffering. You know, he's got a big chunk of bone sticking out of his leg. He's transported to the hospital. The French soldiers think he's so courageous and valiant, right? They don't want to destroy a good leader like this, so they have him sent to his own place, right, to recover. And while he's there, you know, he asks the nurses, hey, do you have any good chivalry stories? You know, something where, you know, the knights are rescuing the ladies in distress. And the nuns go, no, we don't have anything like that. And he goes, well, what do you got? Well, we have a life of Christ, and we have a life of the saints. What would you like? And of course, he goes, well, give me that life of Christ. So he reads it because he's bored out of his mind, right? All he can do is recover. And by the way, he was so vain, we're talking vanity supreme, right, that he doesn't like that bone sticking out of his leg. So he just says, I want you to break my leg all over again, cut off a chunk of bone and jam it back into my leg. I'm not going to have any bone protruding from my leg. Do you know how painful that is without anesthetic? But the guy had guts and determination. So, of course, his recovery time triples, and there he is sitting in the hospital, and he's reading that Life of Christ, and he's getting moved. He's beginning to say, I think I'm missing something in my life. I knew I was feeling some emptiness. I knew I was feeling something was missing. And, of course, this is when he begins to discover true spiritual consolation, because God starts working immediately with this consolation while he's reading that stuff, and his emptiness is dispelling, and instead of feeling the emptiness and darkness, it's being supplanted right by Christ's wonderful, consoling Holy Spirit, and he begins already to recognize what consolation is versus desolation. And of course, we're beginning to see the origins of the spiritual exercises all in this kind of moment of suffering. And as he does this, you know, his fantasy life begins to change. And then he reads, of course, he reads these saint stories like Saint Francis and Saint Dominic, you know, in this book of saints. And of course, God appeals to that vanity. It's just so perfect, right? And he goes, you know, if Saint Dominic and Saint Francis can do this, I can do this too, to serve our Lord. And I won't tell you all of the other tangential stories, way too many, you know, about how God leads him, literally prevents him from killing a Moor on the road, literally gets him over to Jerusalem. The Franciscans don't want him because he's out there proselytizing. He's going to get himself killed. So they have to take this big, huge Franciscan brother and dump him back on a vessel, you know, and so forth, and get him out of there, you know, so that he won't cause any more trouble to disrupt things. But slowly but surely, the Lord molds this man, who's a very rambunctious man, and he molds him and molds him until he becomes the great saint of the Counter-Reformation. All I can tell you is the least likely suspect, transformed because God recognized in those virtues and God recognized in the goodness of his heart that was buried way deep in there, he recognized the mustard seed. He recognized something that could be transformed into a huge shrub where the birds of the air would come and make their nests like yeast leavening the entire dough. He recognized and allowed, through his consolation and leadership, allowed Saint Ignatius to emerge as someone who would lead the church even until our very day. This is the Jesuits, still the largest religious order in the world today. So it's an amazing kind of a feat, but it shows you the power of grace. Through working through free choice, yes, but the power of grace working through the willing heart that, like a mustard seed, can develop into a most, most magnificent of plants, of edifices, of religious orders, indeed, of the cause of God's kingdom.